Okay. Last weekend, I was at a camp. It was called Fire Camp, and each evening, it was only a short thing, but each evening we sat around the campfire and we told stories and thought about what it means to be God's people in society today. And my wife and I had responsibility for the third campfire, which was about thinking about beacon fire. So I've kind of expanded that out, I hope you don't mind, to talk to you today. And so if you think about beacons are kind of a very primitive form of communication, aren't they? Before radio, if you wanted to get a message somewhere, or the telephone, you had to stick a bloke on a horse, didn't you? And get him to ride and hope he made it, and you wouldn't know. But if you wanted to get a message quickly, there wasn't a way to do it. But what you could do is they had prominent hillsides and hilltops, and they had a sort of chain of hills stretching across the country. On each of those hills was a fire, and on each of them was a lookout. So if, say, an army was coming, and they're saying, "Oh no, there's an invading army. How are we going to get word to the king?" Light the fire. So they'd light the fire, the beacon fire. And then 20 miles away, somebody else would be standing on their hill, and they'd see it, they'd say, "Oh, the beacon's lit, light our beacon." And so, psh, 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 on would go all these beacon fires. And it was a very simple way of carrying a message at the speed of light, really. But of course, it was a fairly simple message. But the beacons had to be local, they had to be visible. So in other words, they're here and now and people can see them. They had to carry a message, didn't they? The beacons carried a message. So the beacons say something. And then finally, beacons were contagious. So that message was meant to be passed on. It was for others to pass on and pass on. That was beacons, wasn't it? Right? Now let's check it out with our stories today. The story of Abraham. Was that local and visible? Yeah. It was a permanent legal burial plot. It was local. It was visible. It belonged to him. And what about Jesus and his disciples? Well, they were a band of real flesh and blood local people. They were local. They were visible. See, so they were beacons too. And then was there a message to pass on? You bet there was. Abraham had a message that he passed on by buying that burial plot, and it was this: "I'm a nomad. I don't own one square inch of this land, but I'm giving you all notice. I have a promise from God, and I will have many descendants, and we are here to stay." That was the message to be passed on and on through the generations, through that burial plot. And then what about Jesus? He had a message, and the message was the rule of God's breaking in right here, right now, in power and grace and beauty. And guess what? It's for you. God has come to change the world through ordinary men and women in relationship with Jesus. That was his message. And he made sure that his disciples got it so they would pass it on and on and on. So both of those stories were about being beacons. So what's our question today for you here at Newcastle Baptist Church, and for me, where I am, living and working over in Cobridge in Stoke? The question we need to ask ourselves is this: how can each of us be a beacon, and how can our church be a beacon in Newcastle? Right? Pretty good question, huh? Don't overwhelm me, folks, but yeah. All right. Now, I've got a little way of thinking about it using a star. So remember, Abraham took God out, God took Abraham outside and said, "Look at the heavens, count the stars." And then he said, "So shall your offspring be." And Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippi, he says, "You be blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of God." So this is my little thing that I'd like to work through as to how we can be beacons and how our church can be a beacon today. So I hope you don't mind. We're going to work through that. Okay? So first of all, let's live out the life of Jesus in the world. Now then, what can you see there? You can see lots of toddlers. And this is because I did this morning and didn't do it. Do you remember? Many of you are older than this, so you will remember. There was a lark called Quenk, and it still isn't there. They had an advertising campaign in the 1970s, didn't they? Which was Heineken refreshes the paths. Remember? That other beers can't reach. Now my favourite one of those adverts was a bit, I've got it up there, but I can't see it now because the other pictures are in the way. Was a picture of Spock from Star Trek with his ears drooping. Like this. He drinks the Heineken and his ears pop up. He goes, "Ooh, logical." Right? Well, there were all sorts of funny adverts. Now, I think that this is so important. We need to live the life of Jesus in the world, and to do that, first of all, we need to let Jesus refresh the parts, all the parts of our lives, the parts that other stuff doesn't reach. We need to let Jesus actually be active and living in our lives. And we need to be engaged. We need to be engaged with the world, truly engaged. I find that I've lived as a Christian now for about over 40 years. And I find that one of the most difficult things is to stay engaged with people outside of the Christian family. It's a thing that there's this constant draw back into the safety of the Christian world and Christian friends. And some Christians do this. They live their life, except for when they go out to work, they live their life in the society of Christians. And we need to be constantly challenging that and making ourselves live outside of that Christian box. That's why I was so glad when Alan said about this barbecue. What a fabulous idea. People love food. Who doesn't like a barbecue, eh? You don't like a barbecue. You're not that keen. Do you like salad? You don't like salad? Well, never mind. But do you like people? Well, that's fantastic. You come along anyway and make sure. And don't just drop something through someone's door and say, "I hope you come along." Say that, bring a friend. Bring someone you know. Say, I'll come with me. I mean, imagine if a different organisation said, "We're having a barbecue. Would you like to come to it?" Would you naturally think, "Yeah, I'll come to that"? No, you wouldn't. Not unless you knew someone. We need to be engaged with people and live the life of Jesus in the world. So that brings me to these pictures. One of the things we do in Cobra is we run activities with toddlers and their parents. And every so often we have an open house. That's a picture of our front room on the left there. And you see all those toddlers there? They're just toddlers who come to our toddler group, but they've come into our house so that we've built a relationship with them, and a relationship of trust and love, and it's such an important thing. Do you have a toddler group here? No? Don't worry about it. That's all right. You've got all sorts of stuff that I don't know is happening here, in which people can come. Let's live out our lives and let Jesus refresh the paths. Every part of our life. If someone says, "You know, are you feeling happy this morning?"
And people say,
"Well, why don't you turn your face? Let the joy inside you reach your face. The importance of a smile." Okay. So we've got to, first of all, we've got to live it. Live it out in the world. Let's think of the next one. We've got to be the blessing of Jesus to the world. We've got to be the blessing of Jesus to the world. I think that's that would sum up what we're trying to do in Cobridge. I'd like you to take a moment and just reflect on the last week. And think about what's written up there. Today will never come again. Be a friend. Encourage someone. Take time to care. And let your words heal and not wound. Beautiful, isn't it? Be a friend. Encourage someone. Take time to care. And let your words heal, not wound. Being a blessing is one of the most powerful things you can do. You can be a blessing. Each one of you. I don't care what your life situation is. You can be a blessing. Probably you are a blessing. And we need to keep making sure that we are blessing the people around us. And one of the things that we've done in Cobridge is we've taken over a little plot of ground that was not being used at all. And we've started to turn it into a community garden. So that the people around, we're going to plant lots of free food in the community garden. And so it's just a great thing when you go out there, people just come out of their houses and start joining with us. We're not sort of preaching or doing anything like that, we're gardening. But people come and join us, just gardening and planting things. We had a lovely craft day, making things to make the community garden look beautiful. It's trying to be a blessing to the community around us. There it is. There's the community garden with people coming out and just enjoying the place where they live, that the place they've walked by year after year and not noticed. Next thing, let's point. Point to Jesus for the world. Now, what's the point of a notice? Look at this notice. Notice. Thank you for noticing this new notice. Your noticing it has been noted and will be reported to the authorities. This is an entirely useless notice, isn't it? There's absolutely no point to this notice whatsoever, because this notice is all about itself, isn't it? What you want out of a notice is it points somewhere else. When you're driving down the road, you don't want to say, this is a road sign. You don't want that. You want a road to Stoke, to London, to the north, to the south. That's what you want out of a notice. We've got a point. So we need to point to Jesus, to be message-bearing. Point to Jesus for the world. I discovered this. Isn't it lovely? Love people, serve people, and point them to Jesus when they ask why you care. Now, this is one of those things, it's very difficult to put in words. Don't you find that? I do. Do you find that? To actually articulate something of your faith. It's one of those things that I think what we need to do is we need to work at it and think out, how do I express that? Maybe just write it on a postcard. If someone asked you, why are you doing this? Why do you do this? Why are you having this barbecue for the neighbours? Why have you provided all the... Do you want any money? People often ask that, don't they? Do you want us to pay for it? No, we want you to do it. Why are you doing that? We need to think of a simple but non-cheesy way of saying why that points to Jesus. Not labour it, just point. That's what we need to do. Now the next thing is to share Jesus with the world. And this is the bit where we all get a bit scared, don't we? Because we've got this mental image in our mind that sharing Jesus is basically something like this. Forcing ourselves on people. Shoving an unwelcome message upon them. And we think that sharing Jesus with the world, that's often our fear picture. And that our job in sharing Jesus with the world is to get them to a place where somebody else can do that for us, because we're not very good at it, right? But actually, if you think about it, life is sharing. The whole of life is about sharing, isn't it? But what is it to live life in this world if it isn't to share it with other people? One of the saddest things and one of the endemic things in this society is that people are lonely. That we've stopped sharing And it's the more that we have, the less we need each other. Remember the days when if not everyone had, say, a lawnmower or a ladder, and you have to share it with someone else. But we say, now we want our own lawnmower, our own ladder. And it's good to get to share. And to share Jesus, life is sharing. Now, one of the things we did at this fire camp was we learned how to light fires without matches. It was such fun. And the guy showed us, and he had this little thing, and a flint, so a little piece of metal, these little tiny sparks, and you had to get them onto a little bit of cloth that would take the spark and start to get hot. Then you build this sort of bird's nest thing out of straw, and you put this cloth on the straw, and you had to gently blow it until, and then you see smoke starting to come out of it, and then flames would start. Then there's the start for your fire. It was really exciting to do. It's great fun. And someone said, you know, that is such a beautiful picture of sharing this with the world. With the world. You know, the relationships we have are like this little bird's nest of a thing, and then it only takes a little tiny spark. I don't have to sort of blowtorch the thing to extinction by conveying 10 tons of information. Just a spark, and gently blow with love into life until a flame starts in their lives. Sharing Jesus with the world is about lots of little things. One of the simplest things to do is to say, "Can I pray for you?" We went to a meeting. We were driving back, had to drop into a garage and fill up the car. And this horrible man was just leaving, and the woman was kind of shaken. There was shirts over me, and she was worried. She was scared because he was kind of creepy guy. I said, what's the matter? And she started to tell me, oh, it just gives me the creeps, and I'm scared he's going to get other people to come back. So I said, would you like me to pray for you? Didn't we never met her before? You just said, yes, please. Not just a little prayer. Just pray for Jesus to protect her. And then very quickly, her boss came along and came up. That was quick. Thank you, Lord. It doesn't have to be long. Just simple. But sharing Jesus ought to be simple and not complicated. And the final thing is extend the welcome of Jesus to the world. I don't know if you can see this picture. It says, "The friendliest church in the valley, closed at 3:30 p.m. Stay off the grass, don't litter, no parking and no trespassing. Parked cars will be towed." You know, quite often we send out mixed messages, don't we? Here's a thing about after-service coffee. This is the time when newcomers can get to know the congregation. We need to extend the welcome of Jesus to the world. One of the great things about having a church with a building is you have a place. As well as the people, you have a place where people come. Wow, that's amazing. What's it like for them to come here? What's it like for people to come here? When were you used to coming to a place, you don't feel what it's like to be an outsider anymore? Here's a little project for you. Take a pound, go down to the high street, go into a betting shop and try and put a bet on a horse. Right? You're thinking, what is this guy saying? Try it. Then you will feel what it is like for a person who's never been to church to come into a church. Because you think, what am I doing here? What's going on here? Have you ever, of course it may be something to do with this, but my suspicion is that not many of us have done that. Experience what it's like, think what it's like for someone to come here. Extend the welcome. Be the friendliest people, the warmest people that you can possibly be. Everybody's responsibility is to watch out for a person who has taken that risk of coming here for the first time and making them feel just happy. and welcome and loved and relaxed. Can you do that? Yes, you can. Of course you can. One of the things we do once a month is we have an open house. There we are, that's the picture on the right. That's our kitchen. There's people from our community who come into our house and we gather around food. So this was oat cake day. We made our own oat cakes. That's Lynn up in the corner at the back, frying up the bacon and the... Oh no, it's not Lynn, it's Julia. She's frying up the bacon and the sausages. And there's all these ladies sitting around the table, grating cheese and everything and making oat cakes. And it was just the most magical, magical day. Opening our house, extending the welcome of Jesus to the world, not just to church, but maybe to our houses as well. Simple, simple things. We need to live the life of Jesus in the world. Be the blessing of Jesus to the world. Point to Jesus for the world. Share Jesus with the world in simple ways and extend the welcome of Jesus to the world. And when we do that, we will be a beacon of light to the world. You guys reckon you can do that? Of course you can. Actually, everyone can do this. Anyone can do this. Even I can do this. And I'm not naturally outgoing. I'm all confident up here because I'm very comfortable here. But actually, in normal life, I'm quite shy. But I can do this too. And I'm challenging myself this morning. Because the temptation is always to retreat back into the safe, comfortable place, into the box where I know everyone and I'm comfortable. And I challenge myself and I challenge you, be a beacon in the world for Jesus. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen.